905, welcome back to the Chad Acey Show. News Talk 790 KFYO, online at KFYO.com. And of course, don't forget, you can download the Radio Pup app. It's absolutely free for your smartphone. Search for KFYO. You can use the location deal. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it just search for KFYO. That's honestly the best way to find us on the Radio Pup app. And you can listen to all of KFYO programming right there. Busy show today, as we will have, again, the parade of candidates coming through the studio. And then coming up at 9:35, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz will be my guest. At 10 a.m. this morning, Karen Gibson back in studio to discuss her reelection campaign. But joining me right now, Lana Moore, candidate for District 1 City Council, back for the second interview, and welcome back.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for coming in today. You've been campaigning. You've been doing a lot of block walking, talking to folks in District 1. What are people saying to you as you're going throughout the community and speaking to people?
Well, what I'm hearing is there's a lot of disappointed folks in our city council that stands right now. We are hearing massive amounts on the LPNL thing. They just can't afford it. And they're worried because we have another rate increase coming up this summer. So that's what I'm hearing.
Now, you bring up LPNL, and I've spoken with many candidates, you know, in all the races about LPNL. It seems to be at top of everybody's mind out there. And we know that more rate increases are coming, or at least that's what is planned. More rate increases, right. Higher bills coming down the road. Let me ask you this. When you're going through and you're speaking to people, can you tell them that they're not going to see higher bills?
I made a pledge just a week ago. It was announced that I will pledge not to vote for any rate increase until LPNL opens their books, until they show where this money has gone. They need to be accountable. They need to be transparent. And until they do, I will not vote for a rate increase.
There's been some controversy about how involved the city council should be when it comes to the electric utility board. Obviously, it's made headlines. The mayor and his relationship, the rocky relationship, I think some could say, with the electric utility board. Do you think that the relationship has been too rocky? Do you think the city council should back off? Or do you think the city council should take more of an active role?
I think that the city council should take a very active role. Us as council members are elected by the people. We then turn around and, appoint members to the EUB board. So in my opinion, number one, the citizens are the boss. Then city council, because they are our elected officials. Then the EUB. So in my opinion, it has to be city council.
And what changes if you were on the city council right now? And let's say you had, and again, you'd be one vote, but let's just, and I like to play this game with all the candidates. Let's say everyone on the council agreed with you and they were going with your direction on mm-hmm. things, which that may not ever happen,
right.
with any of the people on the city council. But let's just, live in this universe for a second here. What direction would steps would you take, or what steps would you have taken to, go differently as far as city council and LPNL, the steps they've taken so far?
Well,
what would you have done different?
City council controls the LPNL budget. So that would be my first step. When we have to pay thousands upon thousands of dollars, which happened this last summer, to a point that, many people were hurt. That was absolutely the wrong thing to do, because when you put your citizens in danger of losing their homes, losing their health or whatever, to make the bottom line look better, mm-hmm. is wrong. It's just wrong. And so I would have absolutely done total opposite than what was done. I understand that we've got a generation plant issue coming up in 2019, which actually, if you look at it, it's going to start before that. Because if we wait until 2019, pardon me, to, when the time is to flip the switch mm-hmm. and it doesn't work, well, then when are, where are we going to be? Mm-hmm. So we do have this RFP process going on right now. I feel strongly about the old RFP that was thrown out, and I'll keep that to myself at the moment. But, you know, we need to let it take its course, but the city council has got to be more involved.
The city council candidate that you're going against, Victor Hernandez, he has come out many times and said that he is about the people, that he fights for District 1, that, you know, he is the representative, I guess, you could say, for District 1, and that he looks out for everyone. Do you agree with that?
Victor Hernandez says that he is an advocate for the forgotten. His votes show me that he has forgotten the forgotten.
Visiting with Lana Moore, let me ask you this before we go to break. And in the second half of the break, we'll welcome phone calls if you have a question. For Lana Moore, 770-5790, toll-free, 1-800-687-0790. Talk about massive amounts of people who are upset in District 1. That just everyone you talk to is upset. How does that translate into getting people to the polls? Because, you know, you take someone like me, you know, and others, you probably as well.
Right.
You've heard before. Everyone's upset in District 1. People are mad in District 1. Yet when it comes to Election Day, not that many people show up. How do you get those people to show up to vote?
Well, luckily, what I can say, we've got mail-out ballots this year. So a lot of people that are elderly or disabled or whatever will be able to let their voice be heard as well as the people getting out to vote. I just remind people, you know, this is your honor. This is your duty. Get out and vote.
We'll go ahead. Let's take the break. When we come back, we'll take your questions. If you have questions for Lana Moore, we will also get into quite a few other issues. It's not just LPNL, of course, facing the city council. We'll get into a few other issues as well. Lana Moore. Back on the Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Lana Moore in studio. She's running for city council in District 1. I've been speaking to a lot of people out there. She says now you're hoping, along with the other candidates, to at least get people to turn out to vote. A reminder, early voting next week. So it's going to be a big process. Now, in your way of thinking right now, I mean, this is a three-person race. Do you see this as someone winning, you know, straight out, or do you think this goes into a runoff election?
Well, I hope I'd win straight out.
Right.
But it could possibly, with it being three-man, I kind of look probably for a runoff.
Now, before we go to the phones, and we'll do that here in just a second, 770-5790, toll-free, 1-800-687-0790. Seems as though everyone in District 1 is talking about development and how to bring development into District 1. How do you do that? In your mind, how do you bring development there? Is it getting a handle on the crime issue, or is it something else?
Well, to develop that part of town, first of all, I'm absolutely for historic preservation. I have a long history of Lubbock through my family, and the best way to do that is if we could, you know, restore our historical areas, Broadway and downtown and such as that, that's going to bring in private business. I mean, it will. It's just, for instance, like Austin and San Antonio did. So, not that we're that big, but, you know.
Are you talking about buildings that you'd preserve, or?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Like, yeah. Which, do you have any in mind, or were you talking about downtown
any
redevelopment in
any
general?
Any number of them. I mean, Broadway, let's say from Q to University, is absolutely the most beautiful street we own in the entire city, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Of course, I may be a little biased because I'm from there, but seeing the red bricks, seeing the buildings that were here and that I grew up with and that most people here in Lubbock grew up with, those buildings need to be restored instead of torn down.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Let's get a couple of questions from listeners out there. Josh, you're on KFYO.
How you doing, Lana? This is Josh. I'm glad to see that you're running for office. I think that's what everybody needs to do. And my question is something I've pushed for at city council meetings publicly, and it is creating an organizational setup where we have objective criteria to make determinations. And I brought this up during the LPNL board discussions because too much discretion is left to the city council members. And I think that if we come up with objective criteria in order to vet candidates to go onto the LPNL board, and we could also do this for the deferred maintenance, we come up with objective criteria, organizational setup where, you know, the discretion and the power is taken out of the hands of the council members and it is put into objective decision making. I think that's something that a council member could work towards that would put our city in a better direction. What's your thought on that?
Well, I'm 100% against cronyism. I mean, I've got to say that. I am for every single person in District 1. Not just one or two, not just this group or that group, but for every single person. And we need to have an objective eyeball, I guess you would say, on city council that sees this. And don't do these closed door things. So with that, I would say, yeah, an objective mind on the city council would be a good thing.
Josh, thanks for the question. Let's go back to the phones. Michael, you're on KFYO.
Good morning. The forum last night was sort of amazing in that Victor acts he was being critical of the city council that he's helped do all of these things that have been hurting people, and is not willing to change anything, like all of these hidden taxes that are built into these utility bills. And I just wanted her to kind of comment on that, because that seems to really be resonating with folks where we're out walking, is that they're having trouble deciding what to pay for to start with. And then when you tell them that there's $29.4 million added to it and taxes piled on top of that, and no end in sight as the rates go up as we, have to pursue these other sources for electricity and water. And everybody just acts like, let's just plan one more fun thing, like a taxpayer-funded community college or something that Frank wants. So I think we need some logical folks down there. But what are you hearing about these hidden taxes when people find out about them, Lana?
Well, I'm hearing the exact same thing you are. When we talk about these hidden taxes, or these hidden fees that are on our utility bills, people are outraged. They are outraged. They're taxed enough. And they do not like the idea of our city government taking money on top of money that they really shouldn't take, like the one tax that was voted out 22 years ago, but we're still collecting it.
Well, and let me ask you this, Michael. Thanks for the question. Appreciate it. How do you get rid of those? The so-called hidden fees, hidden taxes. How do you get rid of those, or do you? Or do you just shift them over somewhere and you say, okay, well, the city still wants to bring in money? I mean, either way, you're going to have some members of the city council that say, hey, look, we don't want to get rid of bringing in any taxpayer money. We want to keep spending levels at where they are or increase them if we can. So what do you do?
Well, that kind of goes to the old theory, boys with their toys. You have to phase it out. I understand that we couldn't do it overnight. It will have to be phased out, and our city council has to learn. You and I live on a budget, and they have to learn to live on that same budget. It may be a little bit bigger than ours, but a budget is a budget. And if we can't get these hidden taxes off and get money back in the citizens' pockets that rightfully belongs to them, then we have issues. And so my theory is, let's start phasing them out immediately.
Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the budget, because obviously if you're elected, budget process is going to be a major part of the job. How do you cut spending? Where do you cut spending? Have you been able to take a look at that right now? And are there areas where you think you can cut and maybe have something that people, I think, would love to hear out there, at least some, a tax decrease out there where maybe, you know, at least at the local level, you can relieve some of the hurt that people are feeling out there?
Well, like I mentioned, we've got we're drawing a tax that was voted out by the people 22 years ago. Why aren't we still collecting it? That's my big question. Mm-hmm. When it's voted out, when the people speak, I mean, we need to listen. And if we're not listening, we're not doing our job. So,
do you think there's going to be a need for a bond election within the next 2 to 4 years?
Probably, because of our water issue. But in my opinion, what we need to do before we go to any bond election, we need to put it to the voters, to the citizens of Lubbock that have to pay this. Say, take a committee made up of unbiased people, no pre-approved people on the board, and say, okay, study this issue. Let's see what we actually need. And if it's needed, then, you know, we get this unbiased opinion. We can go to the taxpayers and to the voters and say, you know, this is what we see. But, you know, still put it up to the voters because, after all, it is their money, not ours.
In your mind, and you brought up water, and we know that there's going to be water costs down the line, building a pipeline to different areas. We know that's going to have to happen. What are some other areas where you think a bond election may be needed? Are you thinking police station, different infrastructure? In your mind, what are you thinking right now?
A bond election, to me, really needs infrastructure. Number one, we have to take care of what we already have before we start dreaming big on things that 30 and 40 and 50 years from now that our grandchildren will have to pay for. You know, we need to think and take care of what we have now. If we don't take care of what we have now, there's no future, period.
Let me ask you this, and this is a question I've received a few times. You're a Democrat.
Yes.
Victor Hernandez, he's a Democrat. I think that's pretty easy to say. Do you think that he has used or been too outspoken and made his position as a city councilman, I guess, too divisive and used it too politically?
Well, you know, being Democrat or not being Democrat's really not the issue. What I have a problem with, and I guess I'm going to have to say I kind of agree with Todd Klein. There should be term limits. He has been in office 15 years, and he very blatantly tells that to everybody, that he's been here 15 years. Well, I think it's time for a new beginning because he hasn't done what he needs to do.
How long would you serve?
If I'm elected, we go one term at a time. If this first term was good, I might consider a second term.
But no more than two terms.
No.
So you're kind of going down the Todd Klein way of thinking.
I believe that term limits because we need new ideas and new people, you know, to make sure we don't have this good old boy city council for the rest of our lives, because our children don't deserve that. And quite frankly, the people in Lubbock right now don't deserve that.
Lana Moore, thank you very much for coming in today. Appreciate it. We're just running out of time as the music gets going. Of course, you're running in District 1 for City Council. Again, appreciate you coming back in, and hopefully we'll talk to you again before Election Day.
Oh, well, I'm always at your call.
All right.